It's 11:01. We're going to 11:02. We're going to reconvene. Bringing us to item number 14 is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 15, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the acceptance of the renewal from the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool, also known as Pool, for liability and casualty insurance, along with a deductible option for fiscal year 24-25. Come on up.
Good morning. For the record, Jared Rossi with LP Insurance, here to present your renewal through NPAIP or Pool. I'm going to jump into the coverage section of the packet. Any page looks like this. Starts with the property. I'm going to go through your coverages as they are right now and what they're renewing, and then we'll take a look at the deductible options we've looked at as well. So starting off, currently right now, you have a $5,000 deductible, and that is your maintenance deductible for both the liability and the properties. The property coverage is $300 million per the schedule of locations. Under that, we have some sublimits: accounts receivable at $5 million per loss, arson reward 10% up to $25,000, debris removal for mold and asbestos $100,000, earthquake and flood $150 million aggregate, with flood A, that's zone A, at $25 million. For equipment breakdown, $100 million per loss, including sublimits for loss of income extra expense, and then $250,000 for hazardous substance coverage, spoilage coverage, $100,000 in data restoration, and $10,000 electrical risk improvements. You have $25,000 expediting expenses, $5 million for unintentional errors and omissions, $500,000 for money and securities, as well as ordinance or law for lead building. And then you have agreed values on your schedule. Moving to the liability coverage. Per event, you have $10 million and $10 million in aggregate. Under that, we have some sublimits. For additional insured, we have a $2 million sublimit. We have weed spray property damage for $250,000 with an annual aggregate of $250,000. Emergency response to pollution, $1 million with an annual aggregate of $1 million. Criminal defense fees and costs, $50,000 with an annual aggregate of $50,000. And defense for regulatory agency actions, $50,000. Sexual abuse sublimit is $2.5 million with a $2.5 million aggregate. Moving next to the cyber risk coverage. For part two, which is your privacy and security liability, $1 million with a $15 million aggregate for the pool. I apologize. $1 million per occurrence, $1 million aggregate, up to a $15 million aggregate for all pool members. You also have sublimits there for part three, which is your security failure or privacy event management coverage, $100,000. Part four, network interruption coverage, $250,000. And proof of loss preparation costs at $50,000. As far as the environmental liability, otherwise known as pollution, we have four coverage parts there. Coverage A, which is third-party claims for bodily injury, property damage, or remediation expense. Your limit is $2 million per incident, $10 million aggregate with a $25,000 deductible. First-party response remediation, which is coverage B, and coverage C, emergency response expense, are at the same level, that $25,000 deductible, $2 million and $10 million. Your business interruption coverage D is a time-related item. Your limit is 365 days. Your total monetary limit is $2 million. Your deductible is 3 days. I'm going to let Wayne explain the program structure after a minute. So the next page after that are the differing costs with your deductible options. But I'm going to jump ahead a little bit to the deductible study that we ran. It is few pages back. It's got a lot of really ugly colors in there, so it should be really easy to find. What I've done is at the top, we have the renewal premium options for $2,500 deductible, a $5,000 deductible, $10,000 deductible, and a $25,000 deductible. What we've done is we've looked at your losses for the last 10 years, and we paired up those losses at the differing deductible level with the renewal premium to kind of arrive at what a general overall cost would look like had we had the same claim experience we've had each year over the last 10 paired with the premium to renew this year. In looking at this, we ran it for each year and came up with a 10-year kind of map onto as to what would work out the best given each claim scenario. And we arrived at the $25,000 deductible for the exception of 2 years would have been our best option moving forward, pairing those losses with the renewal premiums attended for $25,000. And that's where we see at the second box, going back to the first sheet, the 2024 deductible study, best, average, and worst. We look at those as well. And again, $25,000 looking to be also the best on that, for the exception of the worst claim year, which did not create a huge delta over the other years. I'm going to go ahead and let Wayne step in and talk a little bit about pool and the program and the structure.
For the record, Wayne Carlson, I'm the executive director of pool. There is a chart that Jared referenced that kind of shows the structure of the program, what it looks like. We go to market, and I'll just start with the property. There's a what we call a tower, a property tower. You have a deductible, and you'll choose which level you want. Above that, then the pool retains $200,000. And then the pool's own captive insurance company, which is a nonprofit captive formed by the members of the pool, it takes the next $300,000 of each occurrence. Above that, we go up to $300 million, except for the earthquake and flood sublimits that Jared mentioned. And that's placed in the Lloyd's market. Each year, we visit with the underwriters there. We had, I had 18 meetings with various syndicates in Lloyd's, which is our equivalent of insurance companies. And we got lots of new capacity in the market, and companies were much more modest in the challenges they have been facing over the last couple of years, caused rate increases in the last couple of years. This year, it was pretty mild, and it's because of our 20-year history of the market being a profitable account over that 20-year period of time. In the next towers are the liability towers, and here you have a deductible at the bottom, and then we bear the first $500,000 in the pool. And above that, we purchase reinsurance from various carriers. So County Reinsurance Limited includes our general liability and law enforcement liability, employment practices, and all those types of coverages for counties and cities and so forth, excluding schools. We have the schools with a different carrier, Old Republic. It also includes the auto liability. So both of those are at 10 million limits. Wrongful acts is included, including the sexual abuse and molestation, but that's at a sublimit of 2.5 million for those type of claims, but 10 million for all other wrongful act type claims, which would include employment practices, board errors and omissions, and so forth. Down the bottom is the cyber program. And here we bear the first $250,000 as a pool. There is no deductible for you on cyber. Then county reinsurance takes us up to $1 million. And then our own captive county reinsurance has an aggregate limit of $10 million on their program for the pool as a whole. We extend that through our captive to an additional $5 million of aggregate limit. So we're trying to broaden the coverage out. And we could not get more limits in the marketplace because our members as a whole, less than half of them had the sufficient controls in place to justify the underwriters extending more limits for us. So we're still working with other members, lots of members, to get their IT services up. We still experience business email compromises that are the type of thing that there are some simple controls for, but it is a challenge because that's increasing in volume, in frequency, that they come after somebody at any level in the county to try to get them to transfer funds to the wrong account, not knowing it's the wrong account. And they can be very subtle in their email addresses that look very similar to what the vendors was before. But it's got one or two letters or numerals or missing spaces that create the link into a different account. And so you wind up transferring an ACH because nobody picked up the phone to talk to the regular person they talked to at that vendor to say, hey, you wanted to change your ACH, you want to verify that you are doing that. That verification step alone could have prevented several of the business email compromise losses that we've experienced. And this is an international phenomenon, and it's getting worse. And with AI, it's even more accelerating because they look more and more like a legit change. So that's a training issue for employees. And so through your, and we offer this service, Know Before. I know you guys subscribe to Know Before separately, but those campaigns, those phishing campaigns, teach employees to avoid these kind of losses. But every, I don't care how small you are or how big you are as an organization, you're a target because they basically scroll to see who has open ports somewhere that they can attack the network. Right next to that is we have terrorism property and liability coverage with a $10 million limit. We have a $250,000 of that we bear. And you have a deductible. And then environmental liability, we included that. We have bear the $250,000 on that as well. And the limit is $2 million. So I'll skip the schools because you're not a school. So it doesn't apply. And then in the rest of the proposal, we show that some of the things that have driven your cost changes this year. There's a sheet that just shows the exposure changes. Those are the key rating factors. And you can see your payroll went up 6.74%. Your total insured values went up 2.5%. The autos went up 14%. And your law enforcement count went up 70%. You added additional officers. So those are driving factors behind the rating, and we take those kind of data for all of our members and go to market. So that's how we come up with the pricing on the proposal. Then after that, you can see some descriptions of our programs and services and the puzzle piece that shows the interconnection of all of these different players. We do business with a lot of nonprofits. The captives that the pool owns is a nonprofit. The captive that the work comp program owns is a nonprofit. The HR services are provided by a nonprofit. County reinsurance that provides our general liability insurance, they're a nonprofit. Pool of pools. And then government entities mutual that stacks above county reinsurance is another nonprofit pool of pools. So we tried to keep the costs down by utilizing these nonprofits that are member controlled, member owned. We have extensive risk management support for you. One of our programs that's really kind of taking off is our Enterprise Risk Management Excellence Program, where we take a comprehensive look at all of the operations, all the key departments, and look at the best practices and try to bring them up to higher and higher levels of performance. And as part of that, if if they go through the whole thing over, and this takes a year or two sometimes to get through it, there's an award that could be up to like $25,000, depending on the complexity of the organization and how much accomplishment they've made. I think Austin certainly is familiar with all of the HR support, having served on that committee as well as on the loss control committee. So we have a lot of member engagement with those committees. Those are member committees. So that's where the ideas come from, where the service scope and direction comes from. Then in terms of kind of what services, what utilization have you had, what have you gotten some advantage of? I have a separate document I'm just going to highlight a few elements of. We've done a number of assessments for you, and the starting with the aquatic assessment. We've done that assessment back in 2016. We do it on a rotation. So we have another training program coming up for pool directors in Carson City later on this year. And that costs about $3,000 for participation. So it's a value added. And then we have the passive network assessment, which we funded. And that was an $18,000 cost that we absorbed to do a network assessment to give your IT folks some tools and some ideas about where your vulnerabilities might be. We did a similar assessment for our jails, including a couple of follow-ups, and we absorbed the cost of that of $25,000, and that was to help the jail commanders get a control of the jail operations on best practices. We've used some outside experts to assist with that. And we formed out of that assessment process, we formed a group we call the Nevada Detention Administrators Working Group, or NDOG, as they like to call themselves. And they developed most recently a jail handbook, inmate handbook, that addressed a lot of the issues that happen in the jail. And one of those issues came about because of the Senate bill that was passed last session requiring voting capability for inmates who had voting rights. Because remember, when they're those inmates are incarcerated, until they're convicted, they've still got all of their voting rights. And so until a conviction takes away any voting rights, they have that right. So the legislature said, we're going to make that available. So we facilitated making sure that there was compliance. And in spite of the fact that recently the ACLU has been going after several jails saying they're not in compliance, we show them evidence that that's not the case. We also assisted with the, you know, enhancing your written workplace safety program. So there's a lot of support in those areas. We also support you by various contracts that we administer on behalf of the members that you have access to. And Target Solutions is one for the fire department. That costs about $5,000 a year that we include. Your fire department actually has pretty high utilization there. They completed 130 courses this year through Target Solutions. Then I'm not going to go through the list, but Pooling Resources, Inc. is the nonprofit that does the HR, Pool Pack HR. That's just a list of the briefings and trainings that have gone on in the last year. And from the training programs, again, on another chart. And you get at the bottom line there, you can see the total value just in this fiscal year of all of those programs, if you took advantage of all of them, was $32,000 alone. Then NRP, Nevada Risk Pooling, is a nonprofit we formed to administer the pools. And so there's a list of the briefings and trainings done by NRP. Then the highlight of our program in recent years has really grown, and that's our e-learning. And you had 359 users. And 225 are considered active users. But look at this, total course enrollment was 1,361 courses, 1,309 of which were completed. So that's a pretty high percentage completion rate just in this fiscal year so far. And we still have some time to go. So, and then the rest of this report highlights the courses that were the most utilized. And by the way, and there's another page further back that shows what you did last year, where you had 975 enrollments and 908 completions. So you can see it's grown quite a bit for you between 22-23 and 23-24. So all of those are important elements that we include in the program with the idea that we want to reduce the risk for you and your employees and for the members as a whole, because it's a pool of all of us. And one other thing I think is important, Jared reviewed the deductible options for you. And one of the things we recommend when you adopt a higher deductible than the one you currently have is to set up a risk management fund and put, typically you want to fund it with your average as a minimum. But I usually recommend two or three times your full deductible amount over and above normal. So if your average is $85,000, that's the minimum to put in that fund to pay those deductibles when they come up. Add another $100,000 to $150,000 into that fund for a year that might have that volatility. And in the 10 years, you can see where that volatility occurs. And so I can help you make a judgment. But our comptroller for us, our CFO, can help you set up the risk management fund. He's got the resolutions and documents that you would need to set that up as an internal fund to protect those deductible funds so they're available, because those things can hit at any time with any amount of volatility in Evernote. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments so far?
No questions, thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I have just one question. Actually, this may be better directed towards the sheriff. I noticed a percentage change that was significant from 24 to 41 law enforcement. And I'm wondering if that's actually 41 law enforcement, or did we reclassify their administrative personnel or dispatchers, or someone, or do we actually have, or volunteers or something, do we actually have 41 law enforcement personnel on the register for this fiscal year?
Well, Sheriff Cullen, for the record, to answer your question, the sheriff's office did absorb the dispatch center this year. We did bring on, I believe it's 6 reserve officers, and we are fully staffed at this point with personnel. So the exact number, I can get the exact numbers of employees, but that's basically what it is.
Okay. And so for the purposes of law enforcement, are we counting dispatchers? Do we think that we're counting dispatchers in that number?
In 41, just a quick estimate with jail staff, deputies, and reserve officers that carry a gun, I would put that number around 35 or 36.
Okay, interesting. Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that clarification. I'm just wondering if with all that, all those changes, maybe we're being attributed more law enforcement officers than we actually have on the street. But that's fine. Certainly we will in the next year have at least that many. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No, I don't have any other questions.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Chairman, if I may, this is Jennifer McCain.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to let the board know that I have County Manager Osborne and I talked at length with Jared Rossi between the $5,000 and the $25,000 deductible. And I think, and Austin can correct me if he's changed his mind, but your staff is recommending that we go with the $25,000 deductible. Of all years, I usually recommend to go with the five because we can budget this. But seeing these numbers, there is a significant savings if we look at his 10-year study. And I already have began talking with Alan Colt with Poole on setting up a risk management fund and getting those kind of things moving for the county if the board chooses to go with the higher deductible. If Austin has anything further to add.
Comptroller McCain and I are aligned with that. Austin Osborne, for the record, I agree. And thank you, Jared, for helping us with the analysis.
All right. Is there any other public comment? Vice Chairman, are you ready to make a motion?
I am. Jared and Wayne, thank you for the presentation. And Mr. Chairman, I'm comfortable making a motion to adopt the new $25,000 deductible. Is that if that's the will of the board?
Mm-hmm. That works for me.
All right. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the renewal from the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool, or Pool, for liability and casualty insurance with a deductible of $25,000, not to exceed $640,000 for fiscal year 2024-25.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, on to item number 16, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of the selection of the auditor for fiscal year ending June 30, 2024. Jennifer, you're going to field this one?
Yes. Good morning. Jennifer McCain, for the record. Staff is recommending that we keep DiPietro and Thornton for our fiscal audits ending June 30th, 2024, as our outside auditor. Joe Costanza is actually the gentleman that does the work for us. He has done a wonderful job. He helped us through all of our implementation with Tyler. And I think we're kind of just hitting our stride, and I would like to recommend keeping him for another year.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
No question. Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
No, thank you. I've been satisfied with our audit services.
Yep. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, would you care to make a motion?
Yeah, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the selection of DiPietro and Thornton CPA LTD as the auditor for Story County for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2024.
We'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer. On to item number 17, this discussion for possible action, review and possible approval of the Story County 24-25 final budget for the submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation. Comptroller McCain.
Hello, Jennifer McCain, for the record again. Before you are the Nevada taxation forms for our final budget. This is a compilation of all the information over the last several meetings that we have discussed. We had a few changes between our May 7th meeting and today that I would like to bring up. One is the salary and wages in the communications department. It was brought to HR's attention that there are a few communication specialist trainees that will have their training completed during the next fiscal year, and they will need to be reclassed as communication specialist one. Between wages and benefits, this is creating an additional $80,000 for this department. The other item is an equipment acquisition fund. We did add one additional reader board. Those are those trailers that have the public works department and is able to put up a sign at, for example, when a road is going to be closed or caution ahead, those kind of things. We are purchasing one in the next fiscal year for $22,000, and we are looking at adding an additional one of these trailers in the CIP for the following year. With this final budget, the general fund revenues are increasing approximately 57%, and expenses are increasing approximately 24%. Transfers out are increasing approximately 19%. This makes the general fund revenues projected to be approximately $43 million, of which 64% is from property tax, and the next highest is 15% for permits and licenses. The general fund expenses are projected to be approximately $33 million, of which 41% is general fund government. These are your departments that basically keep the doors open and allow the sheriff, for example, his guys to do what they need to do. These are departments such as commissioners, assessor, clerk treasurer's office, buildings and grounds, IT, basically all the behind the scenes people. The revenues for all of our other funds are covering or exceeding the expenses. The capital projects fund is projected to have an ending fund balance of approximately $3.5 million, which this is earmarked for future projects within the CIP. Our equipment acquisition fund balance is projected to be approximately $890,000. This is lower in previous years, but some of our long-awaited vehicles and equipment we are finally purchasing. I would like to bring your attention to page 22, which is the road department budget. I am finding the same issue that Commissioner Mitchell brought up for the fire budget. It looks like the program that we use to upload into this is compounding some of these numbers. So our the numbers in the final budget for the road department look quite high. They are actually $661,000 for salary and wages and $492,000 for employee benefits. Service and supplies increased from $400,000 to approximately $1 million. This is where we changed up how road maintenance is done. We created a new account and for road maintenance across the county of approximately, I believe that was $500,000 on its own. Capital outlay increased from $2 million to $7 million, and that's because we have chosen to put all the road capital projects into roads, and we will fund it that way. So if you choose to approve this budget, I would appreciate you approving it with the change on page 22, where I can adequately put those numbers into the budget. Again, I kindly ask that if you do approve this budget, that you would sign. I will let you know when the budget is ready for you to sign with those corrected pages. And if I could have permission from Commissioner Gilman to use his signature stamp. If you have any other questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments at this time?
I have no questions for Jennifer. I appreciate the hard work, and I'm on board with her. And certainly, she has my approval to use the stamp.
Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
So Jennifer, on that page 22, it looks to me like the subtotals may appear to be correct, while the individual line items are not. Is that your understanding?
Yes, it is. And looking into it, why we... Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. No, I heard that. Yes, I heard that.
Looking at the problem, I had a little bit more time to research this while you weren't waiting for me. And it does appear that the formulas are somehow correct, and I have to, and lucky I'm at Tyler because I can take this to them and say, hey, how did I end up with these numbers when my totals are matching my subtotals? So you are correct.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
No, thank you.
Is there any public comment? All right, not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the Story County 2024 and 2025 final budget as presented with the noted corrections on page 22, and direct the Story County Comptroller to submit this budget to the Department, Nevada Department of Taxation.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jennifer. All right, on to item number 18, discussion for possible action, approval of modification and extensions of the 2023-24 collective bargaining agreement between Story County and the Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association. Also known as NAPSO. All right, Randy, you going to handle this?
Yes. Good morning, commissioners. It's Brandy Lopez for the record. So we had four negotiating sessions with the union's negotiating team. Overall, the negotiation sessions went very well. There was a lot of give and take on both sides, and we have actually agreed to a three-year contract. The union has also ratified the contract before you. Would you all like me to go through the contract article by article, or would you just prefer a high-level overview?
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any preference?
Item by item is not necessarily. The overview is fine.
Mr. Chairman?
I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, as am I, Brandy. The overview will work.
Okay, so let's see. First of all, we agreed to a 0% cost of living increase for the first year. The second year will have a 3% COLA, and the third year will have a 2%. The shift differential increased about 25 cents an hour. Milestone pay was increased, and milestones for 25 and 30 years were added. So that gives us 5 years for 3,000, 10 years, 6,000, 15 years, 9,000, 20 years, 12,000. We added 25 for 15,000 and 30 for 18,000. Comp time accrual was reduced from 240 hours to 160 hours. Holiday pay was simplified to make it easier for the comptroller's office and employees. Sick leave payout upon retirement for leaving the sheriff's office after working for at least 10 years was increased. We kind of doubled that one in each category. The uniform pay was simplified and is in line with the quartermaster system now. Catastrophic leave was expanded to include employee-to-employee donations throughout the county. Both the union and the county have an opportunity to reopen the article. Reopen one article only the third year of the contract. I also have Comptroller McKean if there's anything that she would like to add.
Thank you, Brandy. Jennifer, do you have anything you wanted to add?
Jennifer McKean for the record. I just also want to reiterate that this negotiation was a very nice experience. I hope on both sides it was quick and agreeable. Overall, this contract is going to cost approximately $300,000 over 3 years, not including merits, reclasses, and additional employees. That's all I have unless you have questions for me.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments for Brandy or Jennifer?
No, just congratulations on a job well done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman?
I don't have any questions. I appreciate the hard work on both sides to get this negotiated.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the tentative agreement between Story County, the employer, and Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association, or the Nevada Association of Police and Sheriff's Officers Union, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the successor 2024-2027 collective bargaining agreement between the parties.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Brandy. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 19, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of a grant of easement file number 2024-019 to NV Energy for communication electric facilities within the Venice Drive right-of-way, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Kathy.
Thank you. Kathy Campbell for the record. So this is a request from NV Energy for an easement in the Venice Drive right-of-way. If you can visualize being out there in the Tri-Center, this goes from where Electric Avenue is and it goes up the hill to where PetSmart is. As we were working with NV Energy, we discovered for some reason this piece had never been, never had an easement in there for NV Energy. So staff has reviewed this, Public Works has reviewed this, and we're recommending approval.
Great. Thank you, Kathy. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Kathy?
I do not. Thank you, Kathy.
Vice Chairman?
No, I'm comfortable with it. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yes, in accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a grant of easement 2024-019 to NV Energy for communication and electric facilities within the Venice Drive right-of-way, McCarran, Story County, Nevada.
Second that.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. On to item number 20, this is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval to accept Sierra Nevada Construction as the only bidder for the 2024 road rehab project at a bid amount of $581,007.00. Jason.
Chairman, Commissioner Jason Worsbecky for the record again. On Tuesday, May 7th, Dow Engineering held an electronic bid opening on our behalf for the 2024 road rehab project. Sierra Nevada Construction was the only bidder, and the amount was $581,007. Project consists of a full reconstruct up here on Summit Street, addition of drainage improvements on Wild Horse Canyon, and a chip seal along with a chip seal on London and Ireland. So seeking your guys' approval.
All right, thank you, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, any questions or comments?
Jason, I'm curious why we only got one bid on this particular project. Any feedback on that at all?
It's kind of a small project and everybody else is pretty busy right now.
Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Is there any public comment? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve the Public Works Director to sign the contract with Sierra Nevada Construction in the amount of $581,007 for the 2024 road rehab project.
I'll second the motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. On to item number 21, discussion and possible action. Discussion and consideration for approval of the Story County Strategic Plan for fiscal year 24-25. County Manager.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. We've gone through a series of workshops publicly as well as during these meetings publicly and out in the communities. At the last meeting, we provided a draft strategic plan that reflected the comments made by the commission at the meeting before that. And at this point, we don't have any other suggested changes. In front of you is a strategic plan for one fiscal year that we're proposing to you for potential motion. And upon approval of this, then we will begin a three-year and a five-year projection plan. But this will establish a strategic plan for Story County today, nonetheless.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments for Austin?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
I don't have any questions. I appreciate the hard work on getting this wrapped up.
Indeed. Is there any public comment regarding the strategic plan? Not seeing any, Vice Chairman, if you could entertain a motion.
Yeah, Commissioner Mitchell moved to approve the fiscal year 2024 through 2025 Story County Strategic Plan.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 22, this discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of business license second readings A through Q. Commissioner Gilman, questions or comments?
No questions or comments. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No, I don't have any questions.
Is there any public comment? Not any public comment about La Toxica food truck. Nobody. All right. Vice Chairman, care to entertain a motion?
Yes, I move to approve the second reading of business licenses under item 22 on our agenda listed as A through Q.
Second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. On to item number 23 is public comment, the second and final time during this meeting that we'll be taking public comment. Is there any public comment in the courtroom or on Zoom today?
Go to record, Gary Schmidt. The definition I use of corruption is to do something illegal or immoral to benefit oneself, one's family, or associates, oftentimes covertly. To do something for one's convenience, illegal or immorally, is a form of corruption. I think corruption runs rampant in the Story County Commission, and there is corruption elsewhere in the county, such as not facilitating people's requests for public records because it's inconvenient. Shove them a piece of paper, say, fill this out or go online. It's corruption. Now, let me say that read from you the preamble of the open meeting law. In enacting this chapter, the legislature finds and declares that all public bodies, the fire board, the liquor board, there are individual public bodies, exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business, not the county's business, not the fire chief's business, the people's business. And it's an intent of the law that their actions be taken openly and their deliberations be conducted openly. It's the open meeting law. I suggest you all read it and study it. The gathering of members of a public body at which a quorum is present, that's a meeting. I've seen gatherings of a quorum of this body openly discuss county business. That's an open meeting law. All since just two members make a quorum, they can't talk about any county business outside this chambers. Every time they talk about county business, has to be in this chambers. Happens all the time. For convenience, that's corruption. let me say, riddled through the open meeting law. It's a public body shell. A public body shell is the responsibility of a public body. Nowhere does it say that the county clerk shall provide for the minutes and provide for supportive materials and copies of the agenda. You have somehow assigned that duty to an independently elected officer. It's not his responsibility. It does say elsewhere, not in the open meeting law, in his prescribed duties. The only thing he's required to do under law, it does say he's to provide for the minutes of the county commission, and that's all. It's not his responsibility to provide the copies of the agenda or the supporting documents, and you've somehow assigned that to him. You can't do it for convenience. It's corruption. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment today? All right, not seeing any. We're on to item number 24, adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:52, and this meeting's adjourned.